Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Our guests this week are Liz Krueger and Craig Shapiro. They've been married for 26 years and writing together for 20. Most recently, they were the executive producers and showrunners of the CBS sci-fi thriller Salvation. Together, they've written and or produced dozens of projects, including the sci-fi thriller Extant, starring Halle Berry, Necessary Roughness on USA Network, and Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce on Bravo. And I should also say that I've known Craig and Liz for probably 21 years. How are you guys doing?
Great.
We're doing great.
Hi, Liz, and hi, Craig. Nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you.
We'll try not to talk in unison.
No problem, you guys. So, we were out to dinner, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and I told you about Cool Tools, and you started talking about some of the things that you use at work and at home, and I thought it would be great for the show. So, why don't we just get started and tell us about Artemis Prime?
Okay.
Liz, you take Artemis Prime.
Okay, I'll start with that. I just, for the first time, directed an episode of television, usually writer producer, but in taking on this adventure of first time director, I was terrified. And someone turned me on to this this app. It's a director's viewfinder for smartphones. And what that means is, you know, you've probably seen this where like cinematographers will hold one of those little like viewfinders to their eye, or directors will wear those around their necks, and they walk around looking through it and adjusting the lenses to line up a shot. What this allows you to do, whether you're a film student or a professional, is you can put into your phone whatever camera your DP is going to use, all the lenses that he has in his camera that are available to him when he lines up shots, you can have those lenses input through this Artemis Prime app, so that when you go to a location, for example, you're scouting a location and you're looking and you're trying to see what shots are there, where am I going to put the camera? This is all in the prep stages. You've got all the lenses on your phone and you can line up shots, you can see different lenses, and you can be prepared much better on the day that you show up, as opposed to having to use other people's viewfinders. You can actually take photos of the location. You can make videos of the location. But for anybody who's like a first-time director, or even someone who's very seasoned, I think people are starting to really use this because it's so user-friendly. And a lot of times, and I know directing doesn't come up for a lot of people, but in this day and age, lots of young people now at school are taking directing classes, or they're making their own stuff on the internet. And this really gives you so much information about what you're looking at. It gives you so many different ideas, and it really educated me on what different lenses look like.
So I have a question, just in terms of, I understand that it's an app on your phone, but what I don't quite understand is whether the lenses, the actual physical lenses, are physically attached to the phone, or how does your phone see through the lenses in a site that you're on location scouting? Unless, are you carrying around those lenses in a bag, then you put them on to your phone? How does this work?
Well, what it is that like your phone will come up and it'll have it'll appear as a bunch of different squares going around in squares and squares, like sort of from smaller to bigger. And you tap a number on it and it'll say 32. And then it'll show you what a 32 lens looks like.
Okay, it's just simulating. It's simulating, yes, those lenses.
Yes.
That's right. There are no, I'll just chime, sure, in a little. There's no physical lenses, right? But the charm of it is that it simulates what a focal length would be if you had an actual lens. So the cool part is that literally all it's doing is essentially reframing and zooming in to give you what the equivalent of that lens's millimeter would be. And it really, really works. And it's so much quicker and easier, especially because you can share the view with other people at the same time. Because when you're looking through a real viewfinder, it's only you and your eye. But when you can use the phone, you hold it, you know, you're holding it out in front of you and you're all looking at it, you, the operator, the director of photography, you can all work together to set up the shot at the same time, and it helps you all get on the same page.
Does it also simulate depth of field as well?
No, not really. It doesn't do that. It doesn't even try to approximate that on what I've seen. It really is more about lens sizes and then the ability to, you know, you can move through the shot together, right? So if you're approximating a dolly shot or you're approximating, you know, some sort of Steadicam shot, you can all be moving together because you're all looking at the phone at the same time.
And does it work on an iPad?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works on iPads.
But what I find is like the camera operators who, you know, the DP deals mostly with the lighting and he will set up the shots, but you'll usually have an A and B camera operator on the set. And they're the ones who are setting up various shots with the director. So what I find is that these guys all have it on their iPhones. And so you're walking around with them. It's this very fluid process that allows you guys to be very nimble on your feet on the set. You're walking around with this iPhone and like running around looking at different shots. It's so easy. It makes it a very communal process as opposed to, you know, what used to be a very, as Craig was saying, like, you know, you'd have one viewfinder and one person would be looking through at a time.
Right. Also, I mean, I have to say that the old viewfinders were heavy, expensive, made of glass and broke easily. And you constantly were in a search for it. You could never figure out where you put it down. And here it's on your phone. You literally whip it out of your pocket and off you go. You know, it's instant and it never breaks. So it's so much more
and inexpensive.
User friendly. Yeah.
Yes. I saw that it's $30. And a question that I had for you, Liz, Salvation had, because it was science fiction, it had tons of special effects. And one of the things I see, I'm just looking at screenshots, is something about the ability to put like CGI models into the scene. Did you ever use that?
I actually didn't use that because, you know, we have, you know, visual effects coordinators and people who are actually doing that work for us. Mm-hmm. So it for what I needed to do on the set, not necessarily, but we also had storyboard artists who would work with us to create the visuals for what we're going to see once we get it up on its feet. So I didn't, you know, I'm such a novice that I didn't really need it for that reason, but I also had all these resources. If you are doing a very low budget film, I bet that comes in great handy, you know?
Yeah, it looks really cool.
So just for the, to clear up for those who may go to the website to look, on the website for this app, it shows a physical lens attached to it. And they talk about a hardware aspect. And so, that may be a little confusing. So what's going on there?
Well, I have to say the picture is a little confusing because in my mind, it represents what it is, which is like basically taking a viewfinder and collapsing it into your phone.
Right.
But I haven't seen any aspect of it that is actual hardware.
So the website says the hardware aspect of Artemis Prime is the lens mount, which is integrated in with an Apple iPad running the app.
Fascinating.
That might be for like a DP might be using that.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
That hasn't been what we've used it for.
Right. So you're talking about like where they're rudimentary users. there are probably people who are incredibly, I mean, I know the other kinds of things you can do is you can actually put a body in the frame. If you're trying to frame a shot, you can take a body and place it in the room, even though someone's not there because you're trying to see when you actually on the day of shooting, you know, where do you want the body in the frame? You know,
oh, that's cool. Like a little fake silhouette of a body or something.
Yeah. Like they have people standing, mm-hmm. sitting, like you can place bodies.
Like little avatars.
Ah, yeah. Little uh-huh. avatars. Thank
Very
you.
Cool.
What the that kids sounds... call it. Avatars.
Yeah. But so let's talk about your next one. It's a set of dry erase magnetic strips. What are they and how do you use them?
Okay. I'll take this one. Liz, feel free to chime in. These are dry erase magnetic strips. And the charm of these is that they can be, first of all, obviously because it's dry erase, it can be written and rewritten over many, many times. But also because they're magnetic, they can be put up on this special magnetic board and quickly moved, rearranged, erased, rewritten. Because when we're breaking stories for shows, the whole idea is to keep it as loose and as in the flow as possible. And you don't want to have to stop every single time an idea is changed or an idea is moved and rewrite the whole card or unpin it and move it. And this gives you a flexibility that within the writer's room, Everything flows so much easier and faster.
Let me just interject there. I think part of what maybe needs to be clarified is it used to be anytime you would put a card up, if you thought, oh, shoot, I have to move that. That doesn't belong there. Or I want to change something. Like, it's not Darius, you know, creates an EM drive. It's Darius does something else. Now you got to erase it and rewrite it. And so the amount of time you were erasing and rewriting, or a line of dialogue that goes on a card, you erase and rewrite, like, it could just take forever, as opposed to, oh, you know what, let's move that scene to act two. Let's move this around. So right. Now you can move everything. You could say, oh my gosh, all of act three, that belongs in act one. But instead of either having to rewrite the entire board, having to like take your push pin cards or rewrite the cards or throw the cards out because you can't erase them because they're just note cards. This just gives you the ability to write stuff, throw it up there and move it around. It just like the pace in the writer's room is so fast and so furious that, you know, to have to stop and erase things and rewrite them is a big pain. But if you could just write something on a card and move it around, or just say, we don't need that card, and just put something else up, it just creates this energy. You get things done so much faster.
It also looks like they are available in various colors. And if it's the same kind of material that I'm normally familiar with, you can probably also cut a bigger piece with scissors if you needed to.
Yes.
Yes, and we've often gotten them in these huge rolls, and we cut them mostly in the same size, but then there'll be some smaller ones for little scenes that have to go in between, or we want to throw out into it, off to the side. But I'll also say something that's so interesting about it is theoretically how a story is broken. You know, somebody told me this in the very first writer's room I worked in, and it's so true, which is when you're breaking a scene, you want to be able to explain that scene with no more words than will fit on a card. You should be able to explain what's happening in that scene on this one little card. And if you need more information than can fit on a card, then you don't understand the scene yet. Like, you have to be able to boil it down to the fewest ideas and the fewest number of words to the point that it can fit on one of these little cards. And so that is a challenge. But once you've risen to that challenge, you really understand the scene.
A useful constraint.
Yeah, it is. It's a very useful constraint, because otherwise ideas flow all over the place. And this forces you to contain it, because if a scene has two ideas, three ideas, then, you know,
it won't fit on the card.
Not only won't it fit on the card, when you see it on TV, it's hard for the viewer to understand what's going on. It's got too many ideas.
So is there another tool that you use in a professional sense?
The only other tools we do use for work are, we use Final Draft is special software that is used for screenwriting and television writing that allows, it's got pre-formatted basically pre-formats that allow you to slot in based on character names, which they call slugs, dialogue, descriptions, and scene headers. You can quickly switch between them. It's all pre-formatted. So if you had to try and do something like that in Microsoft Word or some other kind of normal writing software, it would take five times as long. And again, so much of the creative process is about being in a flow and not getting knocked out of it, especially the older you get. I can say that, which is, it's a hell of a lot easier. And with the internet, it's a lot easier to get knocked out of the flow. And so the Final Draft software is all about maintaining the flow. With a couple of clicks, you're switching between formats, and it's so much easier.
Right. It does things like remember characters, remember scenes, and it's also it's the standard format in the industry. Everybody kind of accepts and even expects to get a Final Draft for electronic version.
No question, especially because everybody sends scripts back and forth. When you're on a writing staff together, everybody has to be on the same version of Final Draft, and it allows you to work over the internet now, which works pretty well.
So. I remember, Craig, you telling me something that's essential about Final Draft that makes it so that it's like mission critical, is the ability to like lock down page numbers or something like that.
Right. Well, a specialty part of it that is especially useful for TV, although they use it in film also, is it's almost impossible to describe. But when you finish a draft and there are scene numbers assigned to each scene, and as you get into production, you cannot change those scene numbers without causing a complete breakdown of the system. So what they do is, as revisions come out, and of course, there's notes and more ideas and more revisions, each one of those is a different revised version of the script, and the pages are locked in place and the scene numbers get locked in place. So you might end up with a script that it could easily be, was originally only 55 pages, but when you're done, it might be 80 pieces of paper because some of them might only have a few lines on them, simply because the pages are locked in place. Each page now, you might have a 45A, 45B, 45C, because all those are happening between 45 and 46.
Oh, that leads me to an interesting tool that we weren't going to talk about, but I'm going to tell you about it right now, which is called scriptation. Scriptation, you know, as Craig started talking about those 80 pages of paper, I thought everybody listening to this was thinking about all those trees that were dying. And that is where scriptation comes in. That is a new app that allows you to get all these locked pages in your like iPad. It sort of incorporates all the locked pages and does it for you so that you don't have to carry around script pages anymore and keep replacing them.
Yeah.
Because what would happen is you get a delivery of pages and then you would hand swap them out, right? So that like you would put the new pages into your script and throw out the old pages and you do it manually. But now a lot of people, a lot of directors are keeping it all in their iPad and scriptation will do it for you.
It actually is an amazing miracle, because especially for directors who would keep their notes handwritten on their script pages, or they might have post-its attached to their pages. They had notes all over the place. Every time new pages came out, they had to hand copy those notes over. It was totally insane. It was like something from the 70s. And the software automatically updates and includes your notes on the same page where it was before.
Right. So it'll transfer your notes. Imagine having to rewrite every note over again, like notes you had about, where you're going to put the camera, or, just ideas in the scene, or important intentions for the actors, all the stuff you start to write down in your first draft of the script. Every time new pages come, you're rewriting that over. Scriptation actually takes your notes and does it for you. So that's a pretty darn good tool.
And strangely, that has only come out maybe in the last year and a half or 2 years. Like, I'm not sure why the technology didn't exist till now, but something has made it available now. And overnight, I saw all the directors get rid of their hard copies of their scripts and switch to a digital copy.
It looks like they're all using it too. I'm like looking at like Riverdale, Sabrina, Succession, 13 Reasons Why. It's like,
good tools.
It's like all of a sudden taken over.
Yeah. Well, it's because Because it's a no brainer.
Right. So what's another favorite tool of yours? Not necessarily pertaining to work.
Okay. Well,
Now we're going to switch to, we had two for work. Now we got two for personal.
Okay. So how many people out there have trouble falling asleep at night? I know I do. And I searched far and wide for something that would knock me out other than like just a club to the head or sleeping pills. Because here's the thing about sleeping pills. I've heard too many stories about friends taking Ambien who have like fallen asleep at the computer, like, fully dressed with drool coming out of their mouths, or the next day they found themselves on a street corner and didn't know how they got there. I'm not into that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was just listening to various things on the internet, and I found these guys, they call themselves the Honest Guys, which of course makes me very suspect. However, they have these guided sleep meditations. And the first time I listened to one, I fell asleep before I even got through like minute three. And I thought, this is crazy miracle. But the voice on it is very quiet like this. I think it's a little British. It's really hard to define the accent. But what I am most concerned about, and I can't be sure, is it might be turning me into the Manchurian Candidate, because I never get to the end of this. So I don't know what they're actually telling me while I'm asleep. But it's 30 minutes, and I am definitely asleep by minute three or four. And I've turned, it's pretty amazing. But I did one time try to stay up to the end just to hear what they were saying at the end. If any political assassinations occur and I'm somewhere in the vicinity, I am going to be a little concerned. But for now, it seems to just be knocking me out cold. So I definitely can recommend that.
Oh, I'm going to try it.
The weird part is that sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night. I'm like, I think I hear someone talking in the room and I cannot understand where it could possibly be coming from.
So Craig, does this work on you as well?
Well, interestingly, we're going to get to my sleep habits in a minute.
Well, I think you should probably get to them now.
Yeah, that might be a good transition to my sleep habits.
Which I'm sure everybody who's listening has been dying to know what Craig Shapiro does when he goes to sleep.
But it turns out everybody has to sleep every day and everybody's got their issues with it. If you want to switch gears to mine, for me, it's the DreamStation Auto CPAP machine with heated humidifier by Philips Respironics.
I feel like that was something you could win on Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah. Let me just say, you know, people talk about cool tools that, you know, make their life easier. This changed my life. This is the coolest tool out there, even though it is about as unsexy as a tool can get because it's not the sexiest tool in the shed. But prior to several years ago.
Wait, before you go there, yeah. I'm going to say from my perspective, let's do the sort of the Rashomon. Imagine, if you will, going to sleep at night and waking up thinking that somebody is trying to drill through the wall in your house and then realizing, no, that's not a drill. That's actually your husband snoring.
Right.
And so that happened to me on several occasions. And then I would have these fantasies about like taking my pillow and making the drill just stop because I couldn't sleep. And even my little, this was before I found my sleep meditation app, which is a whole other thing. So after having this discussion in a very calm manner about what could be done, Craig went to a sleep clinic and discovered that
first
he had sleep
first
apnea.
First, I denied many times.
Until I taped it with my iPhone.
So she taped it. Then I discovered she was actually, not bullshitting. And so I thought, you know what? I have woken up maybe more than once, a bunch of times in the middle of the night and felt like, oh my God, I can't breathe.
And I wasn't trying to suffocate him, I swear.
Right. I actually couldn't breathe. And also several times, I also realized that I was so tired all the time. Like I would, sometimes I felt like I need a nap in the afternoons and that was so not like me. And when I would get in bed, I would be asleep in literally 10 seconds because my body was so exhausted. So I went to the sleep clinic, they show me my EEG and all my work. And they go, well, look at this. The first 4 hours you were sleeping, you have zero REM sleep, zero. That's bad. Need REM sleep. So they fit you with a thing, which needless to say, makes you look sort of like Bane from the comic books and a little bit like Hannibal Lecter. And
a little bit like Dennis Hopper in Blue Velvet.
Yes. None of these, by the way, are the look you're going for or you imagine your spouse is going to have one day in bed next to you. I will say in all honesty that I try to put it on after the lights are out completely because it does not look terrific, but
it does make me feel a little bit like I'm in an intensive care ward. And
No, none of these things are sexy, but none of these really put you in the mood, except I can only say that the doctor said to me after I did the testing, he said, you wear the CPAP machine, you will feel different tomorrow morning. And I said, how can that be? He said, one day it's going to make all the difference. And he was so right. I obviously was waking up dozens of times in the night. I wasn't getting enough oxygen. My brain wasn't, getting enough oxygen. And not only do you feel tired, but it really negatively impacts your cognitive abilities. And so anyway, one day later, not only does it stop the snoring completely, it has a kind of a quiet little hum about it that I actually kind of like and helps me sleep. But most importantly, I don't wake up anymore in the night. And I'm never tired anymore. It really, really did change my life. And so there you go. That's the CPAP machine.
What does the machine actually do?
Well, all it does is somehow it's just pumping air. There's nothing else happening except it moves through a humidified chamber to keep your insides from, to keep your sinuses and your mouth from drying out.
And is this one better than others that you've tried, or is this the one that you've mentioned, the DreamStation?
This is the only one I've tried, so I can't say what other brands or other types do. I really want to try the travel size, which friends have and told me it's great. It doesn't have the humidifier chamber, so I'm interested in seeing how that might work. But it's obviously, this is the downside of this, is when you travel, I have to take it because, we're going to be in a hotel or whatever. And it's a huge pain in the ass because you've got your one carry-on and this is taking up almost the entire carry-on.
Not only that, but despite having gone through security many times with this, he gets stopped every single time as if he's a terrorist.
Oh, yeah.
No, and I'm like halfway down. I'm halfway to the plane, and I realize Craig's not behind me.
Yeah. Well, and they make me take the entire thing apart all the pieces have to come out. They turn it upside down. They look at me, you know, very suspiciously.
Askance.
Yeah, askance, if you will. And so I just have gotten to expect that that's the case. And also you want to keep it clean since it's moving all of this, you know, air through your system. And instead you have to unpack it on the conveyor belt at the airport, which is literally the dirtiest place on earth. But this is just part of having a CPAP machine.
And it has changed my life as well, because I'm able to go to sleep now and I can listen to my little sleep meditation and not be interrupted by snoring.
Right. And I'll add one last thing, which is we ended up sleeping apart a lot because I'd be snoring and I'd get the boot. And
sorry.
Yeah. And but I totally understood. I wasn't even mad about it, because who wants to live with that? And those days are behind us. We don't have to do that anymore.
I have a CPAP machine. It's a travel one.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't get the home one. I just decided to go straight for the travel one because I travel a lot. And it's about the size, I think, of a portable phone. So it's much smaller.
Right.
And it's been also a life changer for me too. And I don't snore anymore. The humidity has not been that much of a problem. It doesn't have a built-in humidifier, but it's got kind of this little attachment that's this weird little spongy kind of thing that's supposed to provide humidity.
Oh, that sounds
good. I use a humidifier at home, but then when we travel, just for the one or two nights when I've been out, there's been no problem. I think your body kind of learns how to compensate for it.
And what kind of or what brand is yours, or what's the name of yours, Mark?
Boy, I don't remember, but I'll.
But is it the same brand?
It's a different manufacturer. I was just looking. The one that Craig uses costs about $900.
I think that's right.
The one that I got, the travel one, was I think like $475 or something.
But I think insurance might cover some of this.
Right. So yeah. This is the thing, because I did it through a doctor. This is the crazy part of the planet we live on, is that machine, if you just went and bought it, was like $900. I think it cost me like something like $100 with my, by getting a prescription for it and doing through insurance.
Life-changing technology.
Life, truly. I know. It's crazy. I'm trying to think, like, what did people do prior to this? I guess they just got mad at each other and slept in separate bedrooms.
Yeah, I think so. So you guys, we're basically out of time, but Liz, I just wanted you to talk a little bit about the site you were telling me about before we started.
All right. So as I say this out loud, you're going to wonder what it is. And I like that. There is a site that is called Derriere.com. Okay. That's spelled, I believe, Derriere.com. Mm-hmm. Now, this site is not what you think it is. It is actually for bicycle seats. And how I came to find it is I had an exercise bike at home, which when I bought it, had this big cushiony seat. And I thought, oh, isn't that amazing? It's so comfortable, only to realize it's enormous. It's meant for someone who's probably 7'6" and weighs 800 pounds. It's enormous. And so when I would ride on it, not only like where was it uncomfortable, but my butt would go numb. I just said, I don't know how many people listen to this podcast, but now you all know that my butt would go numb riding my bike seat at home in my bedroom. So I called the bike company and I said, is there any other seat that you have? And they said, sorry, this is the only one it comes with. And I said, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And then he got real quiet. And he said, well, there might be something you can do. And I was like, what? And he said, there is a site. It's called Derriere.com. And I started to laugh. And I said, are you joking? And he said, no, we're not supposed to really advertise this, but they have every different type of bike seat you could possibly want. And they do have a way to attach it to any bike. It comes with sort of hardware that you can use to make the adjustment to remove the seat and put a new seat on. And it literally offers you like hundreds of options. And so I got on the website and called up Derriere.com and had a very helpful guy who probably like lives in Colorado in his basement and does this. I don't know. It was very sketchy, but at the same time, it was awesome. And they delivered exactly what they said they were going to deliver. Craig figured out how to put it onto the bike, and It really has been a life changer. Like, I couldn't ride the bike before, and now no more butt numbness. So I have no idea if this is something you're going to want to put in your podcast, and I probably am going to regret talking about my numb butt. But
it sounds totally useful.
It was great, and I have to say they were amazing. They delivered on time. Like they're a really good website.
However, you had an issue with your credit card.
Oh yeah, but that was something else.
Yeah, you know, when you had to tell them.
Oh yeah. It wasn't going through at Derriere.com, and it was because my daughter was in England and had used my credit card, but I didn't know it. And so a fraud alert went up, and I had to call the credit card company, and they said, ma'am, what website were you trying to purchase something? And I had to say to them, Derriere.com. And then I had to explain it wasn't what it sounded like. And that led me down a road because the woman was actually in India, and there was a culture gap in both the humor of the situation and everything else that followed.
I should just say that Derriere actually has an Amazon store. So if you already have an Amazon Prime account or something, you can just order all the things that they offer through Amazon,
which is
more convenient.
You never know what tools will come up in life.
And I just found out that there's a Irish girls accordion band called the Derrieres.
That's funny. And by the way, when you do look up Derriere.com, I would say just go direct to the website. Do not Google it, because strange things come up. That's all I'll say.
Well, Craig and Liz, this has been really fun having you guys on. And since you have more tools, maybe we'll have to have you back on again.
Soon. It turns out, you know what? It was so interesting when you proposed this to really sit down and think, hey, what are those tools that we use in everyday life that we just don't stop and think about how important they are to us and how kind of amazing they are in the modern world, all these things we have at our fingertips.
Yes, that's the beauty of technology. It keeps generating options and opportunities for us.
Oh, you know what? Next time I'm going to talk about my teleportation device and my time travel device, but I'll save that for the next time.
Yeah. Okay. One is for work and the other is for home use.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.